everyone, and welcome back. You know, we get a lot of questions about resistant hypertension. And today we're going to do a deep dive into something that might be connected: obstructive sleep apnea, OSA, and get this, its impact on your kidneys.
Yeah, OSA and resistant hypertension, they often go hand in hand.
We're looking at a fascinating research article from Archivas de Bronconeumologia.
The effect of obstructive sleep apnea on subclinical target organ damage in patients with resistant hypertension.
A mouthful, I know, but the findings, super relevant, especially if you're one of those folks who are doing everything right, taking your meds, watching what you eat, but that blood pressure just won't budge.
Exactly. Resistant hypertension, a real challenge.
So could treating sleep apnea actually help protect your kidneys? That's what we're diving into today.
And, you know, it's important to remember that resistant hypertension, that's blood pressure that stays high despite taking three or more medications.
Right.
Well, it significantly increases your risk of problems. Think organ damage, even cardiovascular events, like 50% higher risk compared to folks with well-controlled blood pressure.
Wow, 50%. That's huge. Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty of the study, let's talk about OSA. We all know about the snoring.
Right.
But what's really going on in the body?
Well, with OSA, you're literally experiencing these repeated pauses in breathing during sleep. And these pauses, even if you're not aware of them, they put stress on your body.
Stress in what way?
Think inflammation, oxidative stress, and damage to your blood vessels. It's not just about the noise.
So it's not just about feeling tired the next day. This is real damage happening.
Right. And the kidneys, they're particularly vulnerable. They need that steady flow of blood and oxygen to function properly.
So OSA throws a wrench in the works.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's get into the research. This study used data from the SARA study.
The SARA study, yes. A large, multi-center international study that followed patients for 3 years.
Wow, 3 years. That's a pretty significant follow-up period.
It is. And for this particular analysis, they focused on 503 individuals with a diagnosis of resistant hypertension.
Okay, paint a picture for us. What was the typical participant like?
Think mostly men, average age in their 60s, high BMI. Pretty typical profile for folks with this condition.
Got it.
And importantly, all participants underwent a sleep study to determine the severity of their OSA.
Okay, and they were also assessed for
various types of organ damage, specifically focusing on markers of kidney function.
All right, so that brings us to the heart of the matter. What did they find about OSA and kidney function?
Here's the key takeaway. People with both resistant hypertension and OSA had significantly worse kidney function compared to those without OSA.
How did they measure kidney function?
They used eGFR.
EGFR.
Estimated glomerular filtration rate, which basically tells us how well your kidneys are filtering waste products from your blood.
Got it.
And those with OSA, their EGFR was on average about 8.42 LMNA and 1.73 mL2 lower.
Now, I know those numbers might not mean much to everyone listening, but trust me, clinically speaking, that's a substantial difference. We're talking about kidneys working overtime, and that can lead to trouble down the road.
Absolutely. And what makes this even more interesting is that the study found a dose-response relationship.
Dose-response meaning?
The worse the OSA, measured by the apnea-hypopnea index, or AHI.
Right, the AHI, which tells you how many times you stop breathing per hour of sleep.
Exactly. The higher the AHI, the worse their kidney function tended to be.
So the more severe the OSA, the greater the impact on the kidneys. It's a clear pattern.
And there's another factor, one I found particularly intriguing, the oxygen desaturation index, or ODI.
ODI. Remind us about that one.
ODI. It measures how often your blood oxygen levels dip below a certain threshold during sleep. Think of it like, how deep are those drops in oxygen?
Okay, so it's not just about how many times you stop breathing, but how much your oxygen levels are affected during those pauses.
Exactly.
Interesting. So you could have two people, same AHI, but very different ODIs.
Right. One person might be experiencing much more stress on their kidneys, even though their overall number of breathing pauses is the same.
So ODI, potentially a hidden danger. You might think your OSA is under control, but if your ODI is high, your kidneys could still be taking a hit. So should we all be asking our doctors about our ODI?
It's definitely a conversation worth having, especially if you're dealing with resistant hypertension.
Noted. Now, the study also looked at CPAP therapy, right? What did they find?
Well, there was a glimmer of hope here. People who use their CPAP machines consistently think at least 4 hours per night had better eGFR values over time.
So it's not just about having the CPAP machine. It's about using it regularly.
consistency is key.
Makes sense. But this was an observational study, right?
Right.
So we can't say for sure that CPAP is the reason for the better kidney function.
We can see a correlation, but we can't definitively prove cause and effect.
Still, it's encouraging, right? It suggests that CPAP might offer some protection for the kidneys.
Absolutely. It suggests that by keeping those airways open and maintaining consistent oxygen flow during sleep, we're giving the kidneys a fighting chance.
It makes me wonder if getting a good night's sleep, especially with CPAP if you need it, could be one of the best things you can do for your kidneys.
It's definitely something to consider, especially if you're struggling with resistant hypertension. And it highlights the importance of understanding both your AHI and your ODI.
Okay, so we've got a lot to think about already. But this study didn't just focus on the kidneys, right? They looked at other organs too.
Yes, they looked at vascular and heart damage. But they didn't find a statistically significant link between OSA and damage to those organs in this particular group.
So in this specific group of people with resistant hypertension, the connection seemed to be strongest with the kidneys.
Exactly. But it's important to remember that this was just one study with this specific population.
Right. We need more research to see if the findings hold true for other groups of people.
Absolutely. And to understand the long-term effects more fully. But for now, the takeaway is that OSA, especially in the context of resistant hypertension, seems to have a particularly strong impact on the kidneys.
It's a reminder that even if you're managing your blood pressure with meds, OSA could be silently harming your kidneys.
Precisely.
Wow. This has been incredibly insightful. We've got a lot more to cover, but we'll have to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, before the break, we were deep in the weeds of CPAP therapy.
Right, CPAP.
Seems to be a key player in protecting your kidneys if you have OSA and resistant hypertension.
Seems to be, yeah. At least in this study.
But let's be real. Using a CPAP machine, it's not exactly, you know, the easiest thing to get used to.
You're telling me some people, they really struggle with it. Finding the right mask.
The mask, yeah.
Getting the pressure settings just right. And just wrapping your head around, like, sleeping with this thing on your face.
It's a big adjustment, for sure. So for those of you out there listening who might be feeling a bit intimidated by CPAP, what advice do you have? I'd say, first of all, don't give up. It takes time. You have to find what works for you. Experiment a bit.
Trial and error.
Yeah, exactly. Trial and error. Work with your doctor, your sleep specialist. And it's all about perspective, right? Think about it. It's an investment.
An investment in what?
Your long-term health. Protecting your kidneys. Maybe even getting better control over your blood pressure. Having more energy during the day.
Those are some pretty good returns. So instead of looking at CPAP as, like, this medical device you have to use, think of it as a tool to help you live a healthier life.
That's the way to look at it. Now, you know, this study, they followed these folks for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. That's not insignificant.
It's not nothing, but it did make me wonder about the long-term trends, you know, for those folks who are consistently using their CPAP. Did they see sustained improvement in kidney function over time?
Right, because 3 years is a snapshot, but what happens after that? Did the benefits stick around?
Unfortunately, we don't really know from this study.
So longer-term data. We need more research.
We definitely need more research to really see how this all plays out over time. And, you know, thinking about future research.
Yeah.
We talk about EGFR, right? That gives us a good overall picture of how well the kidneys are doing. But there are other things to consider, too, other aspects of kidney health.
Like what? Give us an example.
Well, proteinuria, for example.
Now, hold on. For those of us who don't speak nephrologist,
right.
What is proteinuria?
Okay, so proteinuria is basically when you have protein in your urine.
Okay.
And that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
It means your kidneys aren't filtering your blood as efficiently as they should. They should be holding on to that protein.
Interesting. So, like, your kidneys are kind of leaking?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not as tight as they should be.
Yeah.
And protein in the urine, that can be an early sign of chronic kidney disease.
Ah, so proteinuria, red flag, got it. So you're saying it would be really interesting to see if, in addition to improving EGFR, CPAP therapy could actually reduce proteinuria in these folks with OSA and resistant hypertension.
Exactly. That would be a real win. But again, more research needed to confirm that.
Always more research.
Always. And, you know, it's important to remember that OSA doesn't just affect the kidneys in isolation. We need to look at the whole picture.
The whole picture, meaning?
Well, think about other risk factors for kidney disease, like diabetes, high blood pressure.
Yeah.
How does OSA interact with those conditions?
Right, because it's rarely just one thing. It's usually a combination of factors.
Exactly. So we need a more holistic approach, looking at the whole patient. And speaking of the whole patient, we often talk about the kidneys being silent sufferers.
Silent sufferers. What does that mean?
It means they don't really have pain receptors.
So they can be damaged without you even knowing it.
Pretty much, yeah. Damage can happen, and you might not feel a thing until it's pretty far along.
That's a little scary. So how would you even know if your kidneys were in trouble?
That's why regular checkups with your doctor are so important. Blood tests, urine tests, those can help catch problems early.
Early detection is key, right? Because, like you said, by the time you feel something, it might be too late. But what about people who are already dealing with kidney issues?
Uh-huh.
Is it too late for them? Can managing their OSA still make a difference at that point?
It's never too late, even if you've already been diagnosed with kidney disease. Addressing OSA can still help. It can slow down the progression, protect whatever kidney function you have left.
So there's always hope. It's about damage control at that point. Now, we talk a lot about consistent CPAP use, but let's get practical for a minute. What tips would you give to folks who are struggling with their CPAP machines?
Well, for starters, finding the right mask is crucial. That can make a huge difference in terms of comfort. There are so many different types of masks out there. Don't be afraid to try a few.
Right, it's like shoes, you know? You wouldn't wear shoes that don't fit.
Exactly. And don't give up if it feels weird at first. Start slow. Wear it for short periods during the day.
Like while you're watching TV or something.
Exactly. Just get used to the feeling of it.
Yeah.
And make sure your bedroom is sleep friendly, you know, dark, cool, quiet.
Good sleep hygiene. That's important for everyone, not just CPAP users. What about the mental aspect? I mean, let's be honest. Some people get kind of freaked out by the idea of sleeping with a mask strapped to their face.
I get it. It could be intimidating. Talk to your doctor, your sleep specialist. They can help you work through those feelings.
Okay, so don't be afraid to ask for help.
And remember, you're not alone. There are tons of people out there using CPAP successfully. Connect with them. You know, find a support group, an online forum. Share your experiences.
That sense of community can make all the difference. Okay, now let's circle back to the study's findings about the other organs, you know, heart and blood vessels.
Right.
This study didn't find a direct link to damage in those areas for this particular group.
Didn't find a statistically significant link? No.
But that doesn't mean OSA is harmless to the heart and blood vessels, right?
No, absolutely not.
There's plenty of other research that suggests OSA can contribute to cardiovascular problems over time.
So important to keep that in mind.
It is. This study focused on the kidneys, but OSA affects the whole body. We need to look at it in a broader context.
Totally. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners out there who might not even know they have OSA.
Right. OSA, it's often silent, sneaky.
So what are some signs, some red flags that should prompt someone to talk to their doctor about getting tested?
Well, if you're snoring like a chainsaw, especially if it's interrupted by gasps or choking sounds, that's a big one.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like restful sleep.
It's not. And excessive daytime sleepiness, even if you think you're getting enough sleep at night.
So if you're dozing off at your desk, hitting the snooze button multiple times,
uh-huh,
that could be a sign.
It could be. And look out for other things too, like waking up with a dry mouth, sore throat, morning headaches, trouble concentrating, feeling irritable.
So many potential clues. And especially if you have resistant hypertension, getting checked for OSA, that's a must. Absolutely. OSA, it's more common than people think. Billions of people have it. There's no shame in getting tested.
And as we've seen from this study, getting your OSA under control, it could have a real impact on your overall health, especially if you're dealing with resistant hypertension.
It's about taking charge of your health.
Absolutely. We've covered so much ground today, but we have one last piece to discuss. What does this all mean for the future of OSA research and treatment?
Stay with us. We'll be right back to wrap things up.
All right. We're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into OSA and the kidneys. We've learned a lot, especially about the connection with resistant hypertension. But like any good deep dive, we've come up with more questions than answers.
And that's how it should be, right? It's about pushing the boundaries of what we know.
So where do we go from here? What are the big unanswered questions, the mysteries we still need to solve?
Well, we talked about the benefits of CPAP therapy, but how long do those benefits last? The study followed participants for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
But what about 5 years? 10 years down the road? Do the kidneys continue to benefit from CPAP therapy over the long haul?
That's a big question. So more long-term studies, that's a must.
Definitely. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about eGFR, which is a good overall measure of kidney function. But we need to dig deeper.
Dig deeper, you mean?
Look at the specifics, the mechanisms. Like, how does CPAP affect proteinuria?
Protein in the urine, right. The leaky kidney thing.
Exactly. Does CPAP help reduce that leakage? That's what we need to figure out. And then there's the question of other treatment options. Is CPAP the be-all, end-all?
Are there other things on the horizon, other ways to treat OSA?
There's a lot of exciting research happening. Biofeedback, for example, training people to breathe better during sleep.
Whoa, that's pretty wild. Mind over matter, right?
Kinda, yeah. And then there are implantable devices that can stimulate the nerves involved in breathing. A more high-tech solution, maybe a good option for some people.
It's amazing to think how far we've come. From bulky masks to these tiny implanted devices. And let's not forget about prevention, right?
Prevention is always key.
What can we do to lower the risk of developing OSA in the first place?
Well, a healthy lifestyle goes a long way. Maintaining a healthy weight is crucial. Obesity is a major risk factor.
So diet, exercise, all that good stuff.
Exactly. And avoiding alcohol and sedatives before bed, that can help too.
Makes sense. But what about those folks who are already doing all the right things and still have OSA? What's your message to them?
Don't despair. Managing OSA is possible, and it can make a real difference, even if you have resistant hypertension.
It's about advocating for yourself, working with your doctors, and finding what works for you.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. The more you know about OSA, the better equipped you'll be to take charge of your health.
Well said. This has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered the link between OSA and kidney function, the potential of CPAP, and even gotten a glimpse into the future of OSA treatment.
And we can't forget that key message. Even if you're managing your blood pressure, untreated OSA could still be affecting your kidneys.
It's a wake-up call for all of us.
Okay.
So if you're worried about OSA or its impact on your health, talk to your doctor. There's help available.
And taking control of your sleep, that could be one of the best things you do for your long-term health.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay informed, and take good care of yourselves.